Welcome to the Brown Mama Blueprint Podcast, the official podcast of Healthy Start, Inc., where we keep it all the way 100 on how to live your best brown mama life with tips, advice, interviews, and stories on Black Momming for Life, hosted by speaker, author, influencer, and advocate of all things brown mama, Muffy Mendoza.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Brown Mama Blueprint Podcast. I'm so excited to be here with you all today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing with your friends. Thank you for just being here, because obviously you stumbled across this podcast, this video, this opportunity to listen because you are struggling with postpartum depression, or maybe you're looking for information about postpartum depression. Maybe you're wondering what postpartum depression is, and we are here to give you all of the details. I have two phenomenal guests with me today, but first, you know that this podcast is sponsored by Healthy Start. They are the official sponsors of the Brown Mama Blueprint Podcast. So we always want to encourage you that if you are looking for a village, if you are looking for your people, if you are looking for a space and a place, and you are a Pittsburgh mom with children between the ages of 0 and 5, you need to go on over to healthystartpittsburgh.org and you need to find your people. And you know, here at Brown Mamas, we focus on making moms better moms so that dads can become better dads, children become better adults, and ultimately communities become better communities. And the two women that I have with me today, I am 100% sure that they are going to help you to build your village. They're going to help you to get your life. They're going to help you to find the resources and the people you need to tackle postpartum depression if needed and necessary. So I would like to introduce to you Mrs. Stacy Crawley and Dr. Courtney Utes. Y'all know I got white girl mouth, so don't be mad if I mispronounce somebody's name. You already know what it is. So Courtney, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. Yeah. My background is in family and child therapy. I've spent 12 plus years working with children and families, and have come to the perinatal population, working now with mothers and young children. I work at Allegheny Health Network's Women's Behavioral Clinic, and this is a subject that I'm really passionate about, and I'm excited for us to talk today.
Thank you. Mrs. Stacy.
Hello, everyone. I'm Stacy Crawley. I am actually a mom empowerment coach and a motivational speaker. I help busy moms to take charge of their emotional health, build confidence, and transform their mindset so that they can live a happier and healthier life. I am a mom of 4 beautiful young little girls under the age of 8. And I am definitely, and I'm also married. So I've had my own struggle with postpartum depression and anxiety, and I'm excited to discuss that further and help a lot of moms out here today as well.
And we are so happy to have both Stacy and Courtney as guests on this show. So we're going to start off this discussion just by talking about our experiences with postpartum depression, because I know we all have experiences that we can share. And oftentimes it is the very pain that we experience in our lives that tends to become our passion. So we're going to start off with Stacy talking a little bit about your own experience with postpartum depression.
Yeah. So I guess about 2 years ago, a couple months ago, I had my twins. And so I went through maybe the worst case of postpartum depression that I actually had experienced with my other two births. And of course I was more susceptible because, you know, I had twins. And so going from 2 to 4 kids overnight was definitely something that propelled me further and further into depression. And so I went through a lot of hopelessness, exhaustion, just feeling not good enough in my own skin. I felt like I'm naturally patient. And so I was doing a lot of yelling at my kids. That's how I knew something was wrong. I was yelling at them. I had a lot of mom guilt because I was yelling at them. So I literally went in a cycle of yell, scream, come back and apologize, feel bad, and then do it all over again, right? And so I started to feel like, gosh, like they might be better off with someone else. They might be better off with a different mom or someone else that's, you know, if I wasn't around, maybe they'd be better off. And so I started actually, I became suicidal. You know, I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I felt like if I wasn't here, that it would be better for them. And so I knew that at that point, it got really, really bad. It actually affected my marriage. We actually contemplated divorce during that time frame. And it was a really bad time. You know, I wasn't the person that you see in front of you today. I did not smile. It was just tough for me. And so I remember very distinctly, my husband had, I was in the kitchen and I had vomit all over me. I was secretly praying in the kitchen, washing dishes, crying. And I was like, God, help me. What do I need to do? What I need to do? My family needs me. And my husband sat me down and he said, this is not you. And I need my wife back and the kids need their mother back, you know, and I need you to get some help. And so at that point, I realized how bad it had actually gotten and how much toxicity was circling around in my home because of me, but it was no fault of my own. It was because of the chemical imbalance. And so I sought the help that I needed. And I actually had to go on medication because it was that severe. And for me, that was a stigma, and we could talk about that. But for me, I was just like, medication, I don't think so. You know, that's not gonna work. But I had to step back and say, what's best for my kid? What's best for my family? And I did that. And so I still had to do the work, you know, to pull myself out of this hole. I mean, the medication wasn't a cure, you know, and the therapy wasn't a cure. I still had to work and I still had to pray and meditate and journal and all those things to just get me back to a healthier me. And so I just am happy that I am where I am and that I'm able to help other people with my story and impact their lives in some capacity.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you so much, Stacey, for your transparency, because not everybody has the courage to tell those stories about postpartum depression and what it really does to a woman. I'm glad that you shared with us that you began to understand that it wasn't you, but it was a chemical imbalance. And it was actually something by getting help that you could actually overcome. Because I think too often in our communities, we are afraid to admit when just talking to somebody is not gonna work.
Yeah.
We may need a little bit of assistance. We may need a little help with returning our bodies to homeostasis, if you will, you know, returning to our baseline so that we can really start over in terms of building those relationships and developing those good habits that help us to live life as we really want to live. So thank you so much for that, Stacey. Yeah. Courtney, do you want to talk to us a little bit about your experience with postpartum depression, either via yourself or via the people that you work with?
Sure, I will. I'm inspired by Stacey, and I will talk a little bit about my experience and personally and professionally. So I am a mom of three. With my third child, I experienced not depression, but anxiety. Some of the things you were saying, Stacey, echoed with me, just that yelling, that cycle of being on edge and then feeling incredibly guilty. And although I am in the field, it took me a long time to reach out for help. I was able to get help. I was able to get help and feel a lot better. Professionally, you know, working in the perinatal field, my experience is that this is common. This happens to 1 in 20 women within the African American community and minorities. The rate is higher. 38% of Black moms experience some level of postpartum depression and or anxiety. And it's undertreated. It's underrecognized. It's undertreated. And for Black moms in particular, 60% of those affected do not receive treatment, which to me is heartbreaking. And so my experience professionally is exactly echoing what you guys have said. When treatment is available, when treatment is entered, a combination of medication and therapy and supports and addressing the issue as a chemical imbalance rather than as a personal wrong or anything like that can be, you can get better. You can definitely see vast improvement.
Hey, Brown Mamas. It's evident what we all have in common. Motherhood. It's one of the hardest but most rewarding responsibilities ever. Healthy Start wants to make sure that you are good from day one. Our lives are on the line, but together we got this. From prenatal education to mental health support, our team covers all bases. We'll even bring you diapers every month. We partner with other community-based and grassroots organizations and Black birth workers to make sure you have a village. We're also working to affect change within our healthcare system and have stepped up our services to make sure you have support during the pandemic. Visit our website at HealthyStartPittsburgh.org to learn more about our doula services, the Healthy Start Center for Urban Breastfeeding, our programming for fathers, and more. Or give us a call at 412-247-4009. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Get with the Brown Mama program today and start building your village with Healthy Start.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you talked about, you know, that Black women are less likely to receive treatment and also we're less likely to experience postpartum depression, because this was not in our question list, but I think it's really important at this point that we talk about those environmental factors that really contribute to this. Because a lot of times we hear these statistics and it makes it seem like something is wrong with Black people.
Right.
When in reality, there are environmental factors we have to consider, like the fact that a Black mom is more likely to live in poverty, like the fact that a Black mom is less likely to have access to good medical care and just medical care in equitable systems. Mm-hmm. So I know from my personal experience, one of the things that I experienced after having my two younger sons, I experienced postpartum depression, both with my oldest son, because I had him when I was 19 years old, I was a teen mom. And then with my two younger sons, because I had them within 11 months of each other. And so I had basically, it was almost like Stacey's experience of having twins. I was trying to breastfeed one child and bottle feed another child. It was the constant crying, the constant need, the constant throw up in diapers and the cycle of, you know, not for me, it was a lot of not having people to talk to. Talking is one of my love languages. I know it's not an official one, but I love to talk to other adults. And at the time I was living in New York City alone, I didn't know anybody. Brooklyn is my husband's native place. It's not mine. And so just there were so many environmental factors that went into my postpartum depression, because with my older son, I went through postpartum depression, but I felt like I recovered quickly because I had family around. I was living in Pittsburgh at the time, and I'm very used to navigating our healthcare systems. And so I was able to get help and really surround myself with people that I could trust to get out of the rut, versus living in Brooklyn where I didn't know anybody and didn't really have the environment around me to support me. It took a lot longer for me to get help. So can we talk about what environments for you, Stacey, what was happening in your environment that made it easy for you to slip into postpartum depression?
I think for me, so I had it with my oldest daughter as well, but like I said, it was really horrible for my twins. And I think what happened was my husband actually had taken off for 3 months paternity leave to be with me. And so when we were Netflixing and chilling, we took the older kids to school, we laughed, we joked, we had a great time. But he actually went to work, I think maybe, he actually went back to work before I did. And so I think once he went back to work, I didn't have anyone to talk to. My friends were at work during the day. I didn't want to bother them. I was like you, Muffy. I had no one to talk to, and I'm an extrovert. And so I feed off of people's energy by talking and, you know, going deep and having great conversation. And I mean, although I love my babies, they couldn't talk back to me, you know? And so I think being in that space of not being able to talk to another adult and just sitting with my thoughts and being in that environment of isolation really took its toll on me. And then what really made it bad for me is that the connection I was looking for, I started scrolling on social media. And so that actually made it worse because I'm looking on social media and of course, most people, if not, I'll say 99% of people put their highlight reels. They don't show you the real behind the scenes of what's going on. And so I was thinking that all other moms that were on there were so perfect. They had everything together and I didn't. And I hadn't taken a bath in a couple of days. I mean, my hair was all over my head. My body ached when I got out of the bed each morning because I still had to parent, you know, my other two kids. I didn't feel like myself. I felt like I was being left behind. And that really was the environment that placated in my life at that point that really pushed me further into my depression.
Thank you. And what about you, Courtney? Can you tell us a little bit about, specifically with your patients, what mm-hmm. environmental factors are contributing to, you know, the postpartum depression experience?
Yeah, I'm so glad that you brought up the factors that contribute to why minorities or Black women in general might be more predisposed or have higher rates of postpartum depression. There are multiple factors that can increase the risk of postpartum depression. So complications during delivery or birth, like you guys were just saying, having multiples or having multiple small children, because it's just a lot. There's a lot of little people who have needs, and it's more difficult to attend to those needs. Other risk factors are a prior history of mental health, anxiety or depression or otherwise, past trauma history, other stressors such as it could be anything from marriage to work, to anything that's kind of going on personally for someone, prematurity, NICU stays, complications during pregnancy, prior history of abuse. So all of those factors that I just listed, for most of them, you will also find that Black women are high in those categories too. And when you step back and ask yourself why, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Muffy. It's not something that's wrong with Black women. It is a systemic issue. So the fact that there's health disparities for Black women, maternal care leads them to more likely to have premature births, leads them to more likely have a traumatic birth experience. We have systemic issues such as racism, unfair treatment, so many concerns and worries. We saw an influx in our clinic last summer with a lot of the Black Lives Matters movement, with people feeling a higher level of anxiety for themselves and for their families. So all of these factors are influencing someone who is trying to be a mother to the best of their capacity and can lead to feelings of depression and anxiety. Not anyone's fault, but rather a systemic issue.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you brought up these, because sometimes I think we hear the word systemic so much that we don't understand what that means. It's almost a common vein of inequity mm-hmm. that exists through all social systems that we experience. So that's right. Everywhere from the school district that you frequent, to the grocery store, to your hospital, to, I don't know, just your neighbor's house. There mm-hmm. are instances of inequity and systemic racism going through every single institution. So it's not as if something is wrong with Black women or something is wrong with Black men or Black children. It's just that we have these inequities in our society, which are not being correctly tackled, which are not being, you know, that oftentimes we find ourselves as a society putting Band-Aids on and not actually fixing. And so when you have a mom who is birthing a child, what you're really seeing is the very beginning of how systemic racism and what I like to call systemic insecurity is going to affect this person, this new person over their lifetime. Mm-hmm. So, you know, postpartum depression is just a part of the talk that we all need to begin to have and the actions we all need to begin to take in terms of removing systemic racism, systemic insecurity, systemic poverty from the lives of individuals so that we can do the work that our society needs, which is really to raise upstanding citizens of the United States. So I'm glad you just, I always think it's important that we talk about how things are systemic, but also let's talk a little bit about, you know, stigmas, because even though these things are systemic, oftentimes what happens is that we give them meaning without recognizing the systemic nature of these things that are happening in our lives. And so we'll say things to women like, you just need to pray about it. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, when you tell people that you are depressed, they'll say, well, maybe you're just down. Let's talk about some of the myths around postpartum depression, as well as some of the things that moms are experiencing in terms of why they may not even seek out help. Does anybody want to chime in on that?
I'll start. Mm-hmm. I think I've heard that one before, actually, because I've actually had, when I had postpartum depression with my first daughter, I had people in my life telling me, it's going to be okay. You know, you'll be fine. This time will pass and, you know, just pray about it. And that's great. But where's the help? Where are the resources? Who can I talk to? Because you're not understanding what I'm telling you, you know, that I don't feel like myself. And so I think that happens quite often. And I think also another stigma is, and I think sometimes it's self-imposed, where the strong Black woman stigma comes into play. And it's, I don't want to get help because I should be able to handle this because I'm a strong Black woman. Yes, you're strong, you're a Black woman, but you still need help. You know, you still need to be healthy for your kids. And so that's one that I know I dealt with personally, not wanting to ask for help because I felt guilty about, you know, I have these kids and I birthed these kids. My husband and I had these kids. I shouldn't have anybody to come in to wash my clothes or do my laundry or go get my food for me. I'm good. You know, putting on a brave face and inside I'm crying and I feel horrible and I feel like I'm not good enough. But I can't say that because then I'll feel also judged, you know, for even feeling this way. You know, how dare you? You just have beautiful babies. How could you feel down? How could you feel depressed? So I think a lot of moms, especially in a Black community, can identify with those stigmas and they, I'm sure they have been there, and it needs to stop. We need to be more open to each other and be more vulnerable, you know, in mm-hmm. that space. So,
yeah, and that's more honest. Courtney, yes, please chime in.
Yeah, I was just nodding at everything you said, and about stigma and what sometimes prevents women from seeking treatment. But I really in the last year have taken a systemic look at things. And I think what I find helpful is to look at where that stigma comes from. Where does that image of a strong Black woman come from? So that image comes from years of women and African Americans, Black women, mothers of color, recognizing that they are not going to receive equal treatment. And when they are in fear of judgment, that's not an invalid fear. We can look at data and statistics and see that mothers of color are treated differently in all of these systems when they're getting their health care while they're pregnant, when they're at their postpartum visits. Black women are more likely to be characterized as unfit and have their children removed from them. So you want to tell the same woman, the same mom, to open up and go get help, but there's a valid mistrust of some of these systems. And so when I talk with people, I like to just give a voice. There's a reason why it's hard to come forward, and it takes a lot of bravery to find your people, your match, somewhere where you feel comfortable so that you can get the help that you need.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that you brought that up. You know, there is, I was reading actually just last week, and it was talking about how it was this story, and it gave all this, you know, moms, it was three moms that were telling their stories about having their children taken off of them after giving birth because they were deemed unfit, whether they were deemed unfit because of substance abuse, because of past mental health issues. And it's just really unfortunate that moms, you know, we say sometimes, you know, you can go to your doctor and you can tell them anything. But when you know that you can't go to your doctor and tell them anything, when what you tell them may result in you losing your children. And sometimes I think we have to really, really sit with what it means to be a mother and how deep the bonds go between mothers and their children. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't dare take any step that I thought would lead to my children being removed from me because they are that much of me. Mm-hmm. When you remove a child from their mother, it's almost as if you remove a part of them. So we need to remove these stigmas around mental health and stop treating it like it's a crime to be mentally ill. Mm-hmm. When we know that we have a society, we have a culture that in fact, in many ways, makes it easy to be mentally ill. When we have a society that doesn't allow women to take care of themselves, when we have a society that doesn't allow us to be ill in the first place. It's mm-hmm. like sometimes I felt working that being ill was like something I'm going to be penalized for.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, you know, I'm going to lose money. They might not hire me back for this contract. Mm-hmm. All of these things could potentially happen. And I also wanted to point out two things. And that, you know, in terms of what Stacey was saying, like about not well, what I think we all pretty much said about not being able to ask for help. We need to begin to take the impetus off of moms to ask for help and put the impetus on our villages to begin mm-hmm. asking. Because we know if we're honest with ourselves as women, we know what we've experienced after giving birth. We need to begin to say, instead of us just saying, oh, how can I help you? Say, I'm bringing some food. Say, I'm coming over to have a conversation with you. Say, you know, I'm sending somebody over to do laundry. Because oftentimes we're putting the impetus on moms to help when she's at her most, to ask for help when she's at her most vulnerable, which is really not fair. Because when you're vulnerable, what's the first thing you want to do? You kind of want to get in a fetal position and hide, mm-hmm. you know? So we got to take the impetus off of moms to ask for help. And also Stacey had talked about, you know, not being able to get some or wanting to call somebody to do your laundry. One of the things that we teach in the Brown Mama Mindset courses is that an alpha woman is an assisted woman. So if you are an alpha woman, it is your responsibility to find people who can assist you, to begin to delegate tasks, because you cannot be an alpha woman. An alpha woman is a woman who I always like to say for an alpha woman, you've been given much, so now much is required. Yeah. So therefore you have to begin to delegate. So we have to make it normal again to have these villages where we're no longer expecting one or two people to do a job that should be done by 5 to 7 people. Because if we really want to talk about how we can learn from indigenous cultures, that's one of the things we can learn from them. And in indigenous cultures, a child was born with a mother, a auntie, a grandmother, and these were real positions, not just name positions, mm-hmm. but the child knew mom, knew grandma and auntie the same way child knew mama. And oftentimes when you go back and study those indigenous cultures, the child had several mamas. The child didn't just call its biological mother mama. The child called its grandmother, its auntie, a close friend of the family, also mama, because mama was a role more so than it was just a title. So we need to begin to recognize that we are really out of alignment and out of order with our natural way of doing things as human beings when we ask one person or two people, even a husband and a wife, to do a job that is meant to be done by a group of people. So I just felt like we needed to say that. Let's talk a little bit about how we can create better communities. What are some of the things that we need to begin to prioritize in order to begin to prioritize mom's health? We'll go ahead and start with you, with Courtney, on this one.
Yeah, so as far as prioritizing mother's health, I think there's a couple of things that can be done. And I think one is communicating directly with moms that it's okay to make yourself a priority. There is a role transformation. It is one of the biggest changes in a family's life, bringing a child home. And each time it is another transition, another transformation. And it is a very vulnerable time. And there is often societal pressure for all women to be self-sacrificial, to get it done. We talked about the strong Black woman. And so there can be this internalized core belief that I should be doing it all myself. And what we need to do is really dispel that myth and talk to moms about it's okay to make yourself a priority. It's okay to walk, to go for a few hours, to take a weekend away, to take that long shower. Whatever form of self-care is not, it's not a luxury, it's a necessity. And so we really need moms to recognize that and to talk about what does your support system look like. We need to communicate that to their support system, to their spouses, to, you know, there are times that she is going to need a break. She is going to need to step away. This is what the postpartum period looks like, feels like. And then again, back to, you know, to systems, we need, you talked about it too, employers to recognize this time period. We need extended health care, extended health coverage. We need a system, if we look at other countries, that fully recognizes the postpartum period up to 1 year and have resources in place. I think we would see postpartum fall significantly if we weren't asking so much of our mothers.
I wish that we need snaps.
Right? There we go.
Stacey, you want to chime in?
No, you know, I actually agree with everything that Courtney said. I would just piggyback on the self-care and that a lot of times we think that it's selfish and we think that it's, you know, we feel mom guilt behind putting ourselves first, because to us, putting ourselves first means we're putting our kids and our family last. Essentially, when you're putting yourself first, you're actually thinking about your family because you want to be healthy and you're putting yourself first so that you're healthy, so that you're healthy for them. And I think for me, I had to take the long showers, you know, I took the long drives. I did a momcation, you know, for a weekend. I actually did it twice because it was something that allowed me to recharge. And so I think that that's so important that a lot of moms just understand that it's okay to take time for you and to lean on your support system in your village to take care of the kids while you're away, you know, because they'll be fine. They yes. need you to be at your best. So I think that's amazing. Yeah.
And I think overall, if we were to normalize some of these things, not only would we see a drop in postpartum depression, but we would also begin to see women being able to internalize these behaviors, and they would lead to, you know, decreases in other areas. Mm-hmm. So moms begin to understand that we can take care of ourselves, not to mention that if moms are able to take care of ourselves, we take so much better care of our families. Mm-hmm. You know, if we realize that it's important that, you know, we eat good, then it's easier for us to make sure our baby's first foods are good. If we realize that we need to sleep well, then we make a bedtime routine for our children because we need to sleep well. So I think we just have to be, and what saddens me about all this is that these are such common sense things. Like, we're not talking about any, you know, dramatic things that require heavy amounts of lifts. And we're talking about simple things. Teaching moms to take care of themselves are simple baby steps. Like Stacy said, recognizing when you need a break, taking a ride. Listen, me, Beyonce, Tiana Taylor in the car on the way to Walmart, like that is a staycation for me. As long as I can ride by myself. So, I mean, just those small things are ways we can begin to really create not just, you know, certain instances during postpartum depression where moms can be well, but lives where women can be well over the course of their lifetime. So, yeah, you ladies hit the nail right on the head. That's what we need to hear. And lastly, before we wrap this up, let's just talk a little bit about, you know, what do you all see as the future for this illness? What do we need to take forward into our lives, into our communities, into our workplaces in order to begin to do the real work in terms of not necessarily eradicating postpartum depression, but making this something that women can talk about easily and that we can begin to have real productive dialogue around?
So, you know, the future for me, I think, looks like one, just letting people know, even though I've worked in field, I don't think I really knew what postpartum depression or even anxiety. I had never even heard of postpartum anxiety looks like. So education, I think, maybe at visits before and the doctor's office, being able to talk about it, more people coming out and saying what their experiences would have been. Would be a really positive first step. And then I hope we get creative. I hope we begin to, we do things for ourselves as a community, but I hope we get creative in the supports that we offer and the places that we offer this, if it's in church or if it's at childcare, where women already are, if it's telephone check-ins, in-home visits, in a way that feels safe and comfortable. And I hope that we have in the health industry, you know, on my side of things, I hope that we have a recognition, and I think it's beginning to come, that all communities are not, the treatment is not going to be the same. And so that we get creative on our end and that we become open and not so stuck in our medical model of diagnosis and how we're treating different communities. And recognize that the Black community has unique needs and get creative about how we offer support to Black mothers.
I think that's absolutely amazing. Courtney, I totally agree with you. I also have to say, I'm hoping for the future more compassion toward mothers, particularly mothers of color, and, you know, just understanding that we have a different dynamic, family structure than other races typically. And so a lot of times things tend to fall on the mom. And so I think when it comes to employers, having more compassion when moms need to take off and when moms need mental health days, just different things like that. That's what I'm hoping for. I guess more emotional intelligence around postpartum depression and just that whole dynamic. So to me, that's, you know, I'm hoping for that for the future. I think it'll open up so many other, like you said, Courtney, more creative ways to address the issues. And hopefully going forward, the numbers will continue to drop as the resources are increased.
Yeah, and I have to piggyback on that. I think what sometimes people, when we talk about offering support to a specific community, people get the wrong idea that somehow that takes something from them. So your employer example, you know, employers and industries will look at people as commodities and outputs. And so they'll try to limit or how many sick days or days off. But the fact is, when you have an employee that is well and knows that they can take a mental health day and knows that you understand that the daycare just called and you got to go, but you'll get your work done, you are going to have a healthy work environment. You're going to have an employee that sticks with you, retention. And so all these things that we're talking about putting in place specifically for mothers of color will not just benefit our community, it's going to benefit the community as a whole. And so that's just something I'm passionate about, and I try to help people see. We're not trying to offer anyone a leg up or more than they deserve. We're simply talking about equity, which in the end actually benefits all of us.
And I love that, because I love the way you frame that, because what it says is that equity is not just about equality as much as it is about appreciating the differences. It's about really understanding how communities of color work. It's also about how understanding how communities that are not of color work and how we can begin to make those puzzle pieces fit together. And I always like to remind, you know, when I'm talking to people about Black women and Black families in particular, I always like to remind them that, you know, the body is, there's this book called The Body Holds the Score. You know, our bodies remember, and African people, we are African-American people, people of the African diaspora, we come from a matriarchal lineage. Our communities have always been in communities that embraced matriarchy. We've embraced Black women really taking up real leadership roles in our communities. And so we have to understand that when you're talking to Black women, we are used to bearing a lot in our communities. But that doesn't mean that we don't deserve to be taken care of. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be allowed to take care of ourselves. It means that we should be respected in the leadership roles that we take in our communities. And we should also be respected as human beings that need and want to take care of themselves and just need to be able to be allowed to do that in the spaces and places and ways that feels most comfortable for us, and not necessarily in the spaces, places, and ways that are normalized in our culture currently. So thank you, ladies, so much for having this conversation with me, for sharing your knowledge, your lived experiences, and your words with us. We appreciate you. Any last words before we say bye-bye?
I just want to add that that's why I love the idea of the Black maternal database. And I just want to say, again, as someone who's in the field and didn't even recognize myself what was going on, places to someone to reach out to is such a need. And anyone listening to this podcast who's currently experiencing symptoms postpartum, I really encourage you to, like Muffy said, find your people, find your safe place. You deserve the help. You deserve the support. It's not a shortcoming.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say thank you, Muffy and Courtney. And also, I also want to piggyback on that and say that any mom that's out there that is feeling this or feel like something's not right, just know that you're good enough, and that no matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're going through, you will come out on the other side. You know, just like Courtney said, find your people, find your village, lean on them as much as humanly possible. It's okay to get help. It's okay to seek help. It's okay to let your guard down around people that you trust and love to help build you back up. So.
And we have two living resources for you on this, whether you're watching this from the Black Maternal Health Database or whether you're listening in on the Brown Mama Blueprint podcast, we have two living resources for you. Courtney Utes is the, I have to read her. Y'all know I have to read stuff because I'm not good at remembering. So Courtney Utes is the program director is the program director for the Mother and Child Program at Allegheny Health Network. And what is the name of you all's postpartum depression center, Courtney?
Yes, I recently joined. So my program is an extension of the perinatal services from Women's Behavioral Health that was built specifically to address postpartum and perinatal issues and concerns.
And I don't know if you all have been to the center or not, but it's beautiful. I mean, it is specifically set up as a space and place for moms to overcome postpartum depression. So make sure that you go into the AHN website and look at that and find out what resources they offer. And then, of course, Stacy is a mom empowerment coach. Stacy, how can we find you?
Sure. You guys can find me on Instagram as well as Facebook at Stacy S. Crawley, and also on my website, www.stacyscrawley.com.
All right. And you'll be able to find links to what they do as well in the show notes, as well as in the Black Maternal Health Database, because of course they're awesome and we want to make sure you connect with them. But thank you all so much for joining us. We appreciate your ears, your eyes. We appreciate that you've taken out the time to listen to this. And we really, really hope that you are well. And if you are not well, you need to know that's okay, but you need to take some first steps. If nobody is taking steps towards you, then you need to take a step towards help, because you deserve to be well. You deserve to feel good. You deserve to be the mom that you want to be. And you know, we're sending you lights and love. So thank you so much, Stacy and Courtney.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We will talk to you all later. You know where to find us. Peace.
Mama, thank you so much for taking care of yourself by listening to the Brown Mama Blueprint podcast. Because when you take care of you, you take care of us. To learn more about the Brown Mama movement, purchase the Brown Mama Mindset curriculum for Black moms, or to get even more tips on living your best Brown Mama life, visit brownmamas.com. Follow us on facebook.com/brownmamas or on IG at Brown Mamas Tribe. Until next time, remember that when you are a better mom, dads become better dads, children become better adults, and ultimately, our communities become better communities.